Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
You can text this show at any time on the Subaru of New England text line, which is 617-779-7937. And Subaru of New England is where you can find your Subaru. Just go to SubaruofNewEngland.com. And what is this 617 text? I guess it's a read every text Friday. My old man, Barry Hill Curtis, used to say that oftentimes you are better to remain silent and have people think you are an idiot than speak up and confirm it.
So remove all doubt.
This 617 text says, y'all do a weekly wrap-up now? Like Jones and Keefe's Week in Review? Yikes.
Wow.
No, there's no yikes.
It's a lot different.
It's like literally nothing like
it. I love the Jones and Keefe show, but no, it's nothing like that.
And it's not 1992. Nobody says yikes anymore.
Greg, yikes. Wow. That's what you're doing? No, it's a completely different thing.
I think his issue is he didn't read it properly. It's rap with an R, not rap with a W.
Correct. Right. I mean, I've said that a billion times.
I know.
Rap with an R.
He's clearly just not listening.
But let's get to Acrobatic, who we cannot thank enough for spitting the rhymes on this program, and his weekly wrap-up of this week in Boston sports.
I sit alone in my room with my phone staring at banners. Oh, this is on. Last night I couldn't sleep, I tossed and turned, turnovers all night in transition getting burned. Two straight L's staring at the Celtics, now I'm paranoid fam and I can't help it. How these 20 point leads getting blown, got Knicks fans sending stupid memes to my phone. At first I was fierce, now I'm feeling like a jerk. They got Paul Pierce walking 8 hours to work. We need healthy Chris Stapps with all these mishaps. I guess Tatum gonna shoot threes till his wrist snaps, even with the triple team on him. He tried dropping Mad Beantown threes on him. Post game press talk got evaporated. Fire alarm pulled, now the garden got evacuated. Now we feeling lonely. Shooting threes only will have you down two to the Knicks, homie. This round, game three, is on the weekend. I hope it ain't history repeating. The Knicks are going in they bag. New Yorkers got a right to brag. They got OG Ananobi looking like the late, great Kobe. Mixed with Obi-Wan Kenobi and the ninjas from Shinobi. Josh Hart did his oh my gosh part. Scoring buckets in the paint. Oh, what a lost art. Wasn't not a hand to be found in the face of Carl Anthony Towns. Both games and C's lost total control, but it's nobody to blame because they dug their own hole. And just when they was right about to climb out, Coach Joe refused to use a timeout.
Coach,
aw man, broski, we down two to the Knicks, homie. He makes big money, he drive big cars, everybody know his face, but Devers won't play first base. He already moved from third to DH, he told the staff get off his nerves and let him be great. With Tristan missing at first be so-so, but Rap replacing him, that's a no-go. What up guys, what up Coco, I hope the C's win tomorrow girl, otherwise this is like bizarro world. Turn it up!
Smash it!
Smash it.
Smash it, right?
It's so good.
You even gotta ask?
No,
I love so
that.
Good.
I love the Ghetto Boys beat too.
The guy is so good,
talented,
so good.
And you'll get a replay of that on Jones and Keefe later, right, Curtis? Is that what?
Yes.
That? Yes. Okay.
I love when he says my name.
Yeah.
If you could just have one rap, what would it be?
The guy is.
Yeah.
Very,
anyone at Acrobatics?
Very,
where anytime yeah. your name gets dropped in a rap,
I'm like,
that feels good.
Yeah.
That
okay.
Feels good.
That is Acrobatic.
What up, Coco?
There you go.
That should be your ringtone.
Curtis, we're going to get an update on the breaking Bill Belichick news.
Yes.
In a little bit, right?
Yes, we have audio, okay. Which will be ready soon.
And it sounds like this is a UNC decision.
That's the reporting.
Wow.
And this isn't
this
like...
This is going to be an issue.
And this, when Curtis first said it, I'm like, oh, what jabroni is saying this? I mean, Katie Nolan's on the show with him. Like, he's got almost 200,000 followers on Twitter. Like, this is a legit guy, so.
It's a legit scoop,
yeah.
Is what it is.
And you are so right, Curtis. Whatever family member, we all know the family member.
It's not going to go well.
The beginning of the end.
Of what?
He's not going to coach a game.
Yeah.
No, I think he's going to coach a game. I'm talking about the beginning of the end.
Of the relationship?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. I see it completely different.
You do?
If the man is under her spell, like you believe he is,
yes,
then I see it going in a completely different direction.
Well, if he is under her spell, then this is going to be capped because she's going to be all over that building. So.
Well, I mean, it's a big day for her. So, you know.
You know what I mean?
It's the Miss Maine competition this weekend.
Well, right. I have only one thing to say about it, and that is yikes.
Yikes.
Uh-huh. All right. Let's get to Courtney and to what is trending right now.
WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson. Weekdays 2 to 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Shaw's. The Red Sox shut out the Rangers to take the series. Final score 5-0 from Fenway with Liam Hendricks closing this one out for the two innings. Brian Baio had the start. He struck out 1 over 4 2/3. Raffy Devers homered in this one, so good for him. The Sox now turn their attention to the Royals. They're in Kansas City with first pitch at 7:40. Lenny DiNardo joins Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Kick things off with Christian Arcan at 6:40 for the MassMutual pregame show. Celtics take on the Knicks in New York tomorrow at 3:30, but last night's NBA game, the Timberwolves tie things up with the Warriors 117-93, the final of that one, of course, without Steph Curry. In the NHL, Edmonton goes up 2 games on the Golden Knights, and the Capitals tie up their series with the Hurricanes. And that was brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. Shaw's and Star Market is your one-stop shop for Mother's Day. If you want to be mom's favorite, stop by and pick up delectable treats and fresh ingredients for her favorite meal. So many Mother's Day essentials are in store at Shaw's and Star Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. 49 degrees in Boston. Feels like 41. Rainy afternoon, high of 57.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radnor, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Kristaps Porzingis down with the sickness, and he's going to have to muscle through it tomorrow and the rest of the series.
All right.
Muscle through the sick. And nobody knows what it is, I guess, or he doesn't want to say what it is, which I understand, that's fine, but can't figure it out. It's been ongoing for a long, long time, and you need the guy if he can do it this weekend.
Doesn't he say it like kind of messes with his energy, and he just like has a hard time like kind of...
That's a completely different Kristaps than the one that, you know, was bleeding from the head, walking off the court, laughing, smiling. Like, even his energy speaking is not the same, so...
I think we had a guest in studio that knows exactly what it was.
Not enough clams.
Clams.
All right.
It was a bad one.
Something.
Sometimes you eat a bad one.
But even if it's like the bubble guts, you know, usually that goes through and you're fine. But it seems like it's sapping his energy and, you know, making it a little bit hard for him to breathe running up and down the court. So,
Well, 3:30 tomorrow. And you got to win one and then win the rest of them. So.
You win tomorrow, you'll win the series.
And he's available tomorrow. He's fully available.
Yep.
Wait a second. You win tomorrow. You're guaranteeing it. So you win tomorrow and you win the series.
Yeah.
So you're with Barkley. Tomorrow, a must win for the Knicks.
No, I think I said whoever wins tomorrow wins the series.
Right, so that would be a must win.
Yeah. So if you win tomorrow, you win the series.
Okay. This is Jay from South Boston. What's up, Jay?
What's going on, guys? Sean, do you feel that? Do you feel that, Sean? I think we became best friends.
Really?
Because with that take, it's like you guys are the only one who are holding Devers accountable for his actions. This guy's a total tool. I listen to a bunch of radio stations, and they're saying, hey, you know, you can't ask the guy to really do a bunch of things. You demoted him. You did this. You did that. This is what you do in Boston. You step up. When there's a void, you have to come and fill it. You guys are the only ones who are stepping up and saying, hey, Devers blows, his attitude's trash, get him out of here.
Love you, Jay. Thank you.
That was Shime's lead this morning. Shime. It's not all of us.
Nope.
Wiggy and Courtney have an issue with the Red Sox front office, and in specific, Craig Breslow.
Yep.
going to Rafael Devers and asking him if he would be kind enough to assist in an emergency and play first base.
That's not really, like, I don't think that Craig Breslow went, in an emergency, can you come fill in? I think he's saying, like, hey, now Tristan's out. We think that you should just move there now.
Right.
And if I'm Rafael Devers, I'm like, what are you guys talking about? You just had me move here. Right. I sucked at the beginning of the season. I was ridiculed relentlessly, which was appropriate for how he was playing. And now I figured it out, and you want me to move again?
You really believe Breslow approached him that bluntly? Like, the Craig Breslow we talk to all the time. He definitely went into the meeting. He's like, hey, Rafi, here's the deal. Like, you know, Cassis, done for the year. We don't know when he's coming back. We want to make the best lineup we can. Can we please put you at first base?
Well, why didn't they do that earlier on in the season when Cassis was struggling and he'd been struggling all year
long? Because Breslow has said outright he believes in Cassis and he figured Cassis would get out of it.
But he also was playing other guys at first base when the struggle continued. If the struggle is continuing, then you say, hey, Raf, we might need you to take some ground balls in practice, you know, get a little feel for the first base because he's struggling, and maybe down the road we might want to utilize you for some games.
It drives me nuts. Another guy who wants to be the face of the franchise and is being paid accordingly, who refuses to do what his boss is asking him nicely to do.
And do we think there's a chance in hell of Casas is healthy the whole year that he's ever asked to play first base?
Not a single time.
So it's the definition of an emergency.
Well, if he continues to stink, they got to do something at first base.
We were talking, we would mention Roman Anthony, we'd mention other names because it would not be a temporary situation. What you have right now is they've played 40 games, so they got 122 left. That's what you're talking about. You're not talking about the rest of his career. He's still signed for 9 more years after this one with the Red Sox. So it's just a way to improve the roster, which is what he publicly stated he wanted them to do last offseason.
But improve the roster. Bring up Anthony. Right. We've been talking about that. Do that.
Right. If you can DH.
If you think this is a temporary situation for Devers, I don't think so.
Why does it matter what it is?
But of course it is.
The guy is on the team.
Right.
He's not on the He's on the team.
Right. No, I get that.
Like,
it's best for roster flexibility to have Devers at first, and then you bring up you have 2 to 3 different guys a day that can DH.
No, it's best for you to put the best defensive player at first base. That's what's the best for the team.
It is not a defensive position in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, and the best for the team is to have the best bats in the lineup at all times.
Then you put Anthony or Meyer at first base and you DH Devers, and then you kill 2 birds with 1 stone. Not only do you get good bats in the lineup, but you now have a good defense out there.
Roman Anthony's never played first base. How is he a good
defender? So neither is Rafi Devers.
You don't jeopardize the future of the number one prospect in baseball.
Then put Meyer there.
I don't think that.
Or move Campbell there.
Wiggy, what they're trying to do is have Devers at first, and then those four names, can all take turns DHing while doing their prerequisite number of at-bats in the minors and not jeopardizing their development in the farm before they get to the big leagues.
But the best thing is to get the best bats in, but also you got to have the best fielders out there.
It's not relevant at first base.
It is really relevant at first base. It is relevant. We talked about this for how many years?
We threw Kyle Schwarber at first base because we needed a first baseman.
And guess what? And guess what? People like, they need a first baseman. He's booting balls.
What do you mean? They were in the AL Championship Series.
What are you talking
ALCS.
About?
Yes.
Was it
Brian Dalbec there at times? They needed a
Brian
first.
Brian Dalbec was in the 2000s.
Dalbec. No, right. Bobby Dalbec.
Bobby Dalbec. Who was they putting? Bobby over there?
I love Brian Dalbec.
But his brother Ryan did not get a fair shot in Major League Baseball.
They really didn't.
A couple years ago, they would put Dalbec
in Greenville forever,
at first base.
Part of the Greenville.
You knew what I was talking about. They need a first baseman.
Yes.
Devers ain't it.
This is Lewis from Salem. Hello, Lewis.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up?
So I'm in the minority here. I agree completely with Wiggy because you got to look at the history here, right? So this guy comes up. He's not a great third baseman. They spend years trying to develop him at third base. You look over at Toronto. you had a guy up there that wasn't a great third baseman, was a little too big for the position. They moved him right away. So maybe if they would have done that same approach for Devers, it would have worked. He would have been more open to it. Then what you said earlier, they kind of mess with him with the contract negotiations. And then you guys bring up Mookie Betts, right? A guy that plays all over the field. Mm-hmm. He was willing to do that. But that adds value to Mookie Betts because he's just a great fielder, period. Devers is not. Going to first base is not going to add value to him on Chime's point. Not that I think so. The reason Devers got paid $300 million is because what he could do with the bat. Mookie Betts got paid because he's just an all-around great player. And the Red Sox did not pay him. They strung him along all over the place, put him wherever he wanted. He did whatever the Red Sox asked him, and they never paid him. So what benefit does it get to Devers when you tell him one thing but do another, and now you're asking him to do another thing? So I feel like, yeah, it's a team sport, and it'd be great if he just fell in line like a good soldier. But at the same time, he has all the leverage because he already has his $300 million.
So,
you know what I'm saying? And the Red Sox need his bat. They can't afford not to have it.
So this problem, which is what it's become, is all on the front office. It's all on Craig Breslow from your perspective.
Yep.
And you would agree with Wiggy on that. And it's not on Alex Cora, if that's your opinion, because Alex Cora has been trying to soft play it publicly. And Alex Cora clearly was on the player's side.
Well, I would put some of it on Cora. If they felt like Devers, like the caller said, wasn't a great third baseman initially, Cora should have said, hey, Devers, maybe we're going to move you to have you playing first base too in his career.
I do think that Cora has been soft playing it. Like, I think that he's been trying to soften the blow. And even if, again, and this may be the bias in me with Alex Cora, because watching Clubhouse, he when he goes into a meeting with Rafael Devers, he says, do you want to speak in English or do you want to speak in Spanish? The first thing he says. So he completely, doesn't matter if other people in the room can't speak Spanish, he wants to make sure he's talking to the player and on the player's terms at all times.
But Lewis makes a great point. If you seen that he wasn't...
Wait, when he says, do you want to speak in English, does Rafi say?
Oh, no.
No.
I would think he'd say, no. Si.
Si. No.
But Lewis makes a great point. If you would have did it early in his career, Cora, then maybe you don't have this issue. But the guy 7 years in or whatever, he's been at a playing third base now for the majority of his career, and then you jerk him around, is he going to be a little petty? Yep.
No.
Yeah. So it's not that they broke up with me. It's how they did it, right? If they had spoken to him nicer, Wigs, right, he'd be happier right now.
No,
you know what? They're just honest.
No.
They were honest.
No.
They weren't.
About what?
It's breaking up with somebody and lying on the breakup and then circling back and going, oh, we made a mistake. Do you think you want to get back together?
Let's go chronologically here. Devers tells Breslow that the team isn't good enough.
And they need some help. Yep. Mm-hmm. We all
agree on
that.
During the offseason, they sign Bregman. They bring in Crochet. They get Giolito, all that.
Yep.
Then they get to spring training, and Devers throws a hissy fit.
Right.
And then he refuses to play third game.
You want to add some pieces in there?
Right. Then he refuses to play third in a game.
You're completely jumping over timelines without adding pieces in there. So they probably
over timelines.
You are. Like he was injured going into spring training.
Right.
Then he also said, he was asked straight up, are you willing to move? And he says, no, right, I'm a third baseman.
And they probably told him, hey, we might start out Bregman at second.
Yep. Did he look injured to you when we were watching him take ground balls?
Because you could take ground balls.
I'm just asking a question.
No, taking ground balls.
Okay, so why did you do that in any spring training games once?
You know who doesn't look out?
I'm asking a question. If you wanted to play the position, why didn't you do it?
It is a dumb-ass question. You know who looks good in warm-ups? Kristaps Porzingis.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and he's playing in the game.
Now your argument is
he
looks good at taking ground balls?
Make it make sense.
Curtis is many things. He's not dumb.
He is at times.
Sometimes.
He is at times. He is dumb.
So I want to play the position so badly, I'm not going
to
play once.
You want your narrative to work out, so you're going through it. We disagree.
Poke the holes in the narrative. He wanted to play third.
Just because you're taking ground balls at practice does not mean that you still are not hurt.
Okay, so he wanted to play third.
Yes.
He refused to play third in spring training.
after they told him you're not playing third.
Okay, so then
I mean, what part
you're making
of it,
my point.
That's what I'm
the
saying.
But Curtis's initial question was what? Where was the lie? The lie was that there was going to be a competition between he and Bregman, and clearly between Craig Breslow and others in the front office, there was never going to be a competition. No. Alex Bregman was going to play third, and I feel like Rafael Devers felt like they pulled the wool over
but
his eyes.
But we believed, all of us believed that Bregman was an Alex Cora signing, not a Craig Breslow signing, correct?
Yeah.
No, yeah, so then wouldn't he be mad at Alex Cora and not Craig Breslow?
Right. Why is he mad at Breslow and not Cora?
Alex Cora was advocating for
yes,
it.
Yes, and, it, and they were dragging their... It seemed like the Red Sox were dragging their heels forever, which is why the deal took so long to get done. We all believed that Alex Bregman was a Cora guy.
Yes,
okay, and they all lied to Bregman.
Exactly.
I mean, to Devers.
Yeah. No. The front office didn't lie to him. Alex Cora did. So why isn't he pissed at Alex Cora? Why is he mad at Craig Breslow?
I think the front office and Cora both lied to him
in
the beginning. That's why
now everybody's a liar.
Right, but if not for Cora,
Bregman's make it sound like that don't happen all the time.
Wiggy, if not for Cora, Bregman's not here.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I understand that.
So why is he mad at Breslow?
We're not disputing Bregman being here. We're disputing the fact that they lied to him
Alex Cora lied to him, but he's blaming Craig Breslow. That's the point. That's the point I'm trying to make.
Maybe he was mad at Alex Cora the first go around. Then they figured it out, and now this second go around, now he's mad at Craig Breslow because Breslow is seemingly the one that wants him to move to first base, and Alex Cora is saying hands off because he was already pissed at me once.
The texter just pointed out that's a part of the issue as well. There's some divide between Cora and Breslow on this particular subject. And Alex Cora is out front and personal basically saying, no, I'm not asking him to move. And that puts Rafi Devers in the position that he's in where he feels justified in saying, I'm not going to move because the manager isn't asking me to move.
And when Cora was on with us, Wiggs and Greg was pooping his brains out.
Right, but I did perform the very next day, unlike some others.
No, you would have been there if it wasn't so stinky.
Right.
So when the three of us sat down with Cora, he spoke of Alex Bregman in a way I have never heard him discuss a player in my life. He called him, quote, the perfect player, unquote, to us.
Yeah.
He was here because Cora saw that Devers needed a kick in the ass. That Devers was someone that was not a winning player. He reiterated to us over and over again that Bregman won in college, won in the minors, won with the Astros, did whatever it took for the team to win. And that was directly contrasted to the way that Devers was handling it. Now fast forward to right now, and their first base position was not anticipated to be a spot that was available, and their number one guy, Casas, is done for the year. Instead of maybe putting on a first baseman's mitt and taking a couple ground balls and then saying, this isn't for me, Devers is still playing third base.
If you don't believe...
Why?
If you don't believe that Cora and Breslow, the front office people, behind the scenes, behind closed doors, in their office, didn't agree or said to each other, Bregman is the better option at third base. We're putting Bregman there. And even though we're going to tell Devers he's getting a chance, we ultimately know that's not going to happen.
But
if you believe
Devers,
they didn't do that, that's what Devers is pissed
about. Okay, Devers didn't even take advantage of the chance, the minuscule chance that he might have had because he was quote-unquote hurt throughout spring training.
Well, that's because they deceived him.
He was butt hurt.
Well, be honest
with
the guy.
His feelings were hurt.
Be honest. I would say this in anything. Be honest with people. Just say, as soon as we sign Bregman, you pick up the phone and you call Devers and you say, hey, Devers, it's Cora. Guess what? We're moving you to DH because Bregman's our third baseman. And then you have whatever conversation about his feelings that.
Yeah.
Be honest. Don't sit there and be like, oh, you're going to get your chance. Or
this is David from Florida. Hey, David.
Hey.
What's up?
You know, I mean, as a matter of principle, all this is reprehensible. It stinks to the high heavens. But my question is, when do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line? I mean, players have the right to express themselves. Players have the right to stand up for themselves. So where do you draw the line? I mean, if he's upset, he's upset. if Bregman, for example, if Bregman was all of a sudden told that he's only going to play one every 5 days, then he'd be upset. I mean, yes, things change, but where do you draw the line? I mean, players have the right to express themselves. So where do you draw the line?
Not in this situation with a lot of people, David. Players lie.
What did Craig Breslow say about it on this very show yesterday? About the whole entire discussion. Keeping it in-house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? That's what he said.
Yeah.
What did Rafael Devers do yesterday intentionally right afterwards?
Yeah, he brought it to the public's eye.
Right.
Because he's saying they deceived me.
Is that being a good team guy?
You think he cares about being a good team guy?
There we go. We agree. Okay.
All right. Okay.
I agree with you, though.
We got there.
But I had said that. That's him being petty.
And that's the guy that you decided to pick over Mookie Betts, Xander Bogaerts, and the guy who's going to be the face of your franchise going forward for $300 million.
That's not his
fault. He's not a good team guy. But that's not his fault that he's not a good team guy.
It's not his fault that they chose him over the other guys that we all wanted.
That should be on the organization.
Yeah.
If a player,
all right, I'm on board with that too. They made a huge mistake. Shouldn't have chosen him to be the face of the franchise going forward.
That's why they should trade him.
If a player lies, right, we crucify a player for lying. Mm-hmm. We crucified Kyrie Irving for lying. Talk about he want to come back. If an organization, which happens,
by we doesn't mean you because you never
not me.
Right.
No, but okay. I do rip some athletes. But if an organization, which probably 75% of the time lies more to the player, lies to a guy, and then a guy feels a certain way toward the organization, you shouldn't lie to him.
I feel like, Wiggs, if they're guaranteed contracts, it's different, and nobody has called the Red Sox front office liars more than I have.
But it's not about the money. I'm not saying that they're lying about what they're telling us. I'm just talking about what they tell the players. Guaranteed contracts, I get it. It's $30 million, but there's still some type of pride. As a man or as a woman in a job, there's a pride factor. It doesn't matter how much they pay.
An example of the pride getting the best of him, and he didn't look in the way he wanted.
But that's how it is. It's about pride and how you treat me.
Okay. Well, his pride has been injured.
Yep.
And you can talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. We are going to meet the next Pudge's pal next.
Love it.
Curtis, what is his name?
Her name is Kia. She is adorable. I was just with her in the conference room. Okay. I think she'll be scooped up before noon.
All right. We are hoping that there is a forever home for another Pudge's pal, and you will get to meet her on YouTube or on Twitch or over the radio now.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next. Celtics will try to turn this thing around tomorrow, 3:30 first tip, and you can talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. Rafael Devers unhappy that Craig Breslow dared to ask him if he would be willing to play first base, and you can talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original WEEI as well. But now, a Pudge's pal in the studio, and it is Kia, who is here with us this morning. And Mindy, if you could, you got to get right up close and personal with that microphone.
All right.
Mindy is from Great Dog Rescue.
That's correct.
Okay, and tell us what you can about Kia.
Yeah, so Kia is an amazing dog. So she's a mama dog. If you look on our website, you'll find her under Kia Mama. She has been with us since January. So she came up as a pregnant stray. We had hoped to get her here to a foster home to have her babies, and she got on transport, and when they drove overnight and they opened the door, well, guess what? She had all her puppies overnight on the transport, and we just... She arrived with puppies.
Yes.
And then she was a great mom to her puppies. And then the poor girl tested positive for heartworm.
Oh.
She's now gone through all of her heartworm treatment. And so she is a two-year-old husky mix. I tell you straight off the bat, if I didn't have two dogs, I would take her home myself today. She is the most affectionate dog. She's really small for a husky, so she's only 40 pounds. She's like a little lap dog, and she just wants to be by your side. You guys can see that she is attached to my leg pretty much.
Yeah, if you're watching on YouTube or on Twitch, then you can see how lovable she is. And we got a pretty good win streak going, Curtis, when it comes to finding forever homes for Pudge's pals.
And honestly, it is the greatest gift you can give yourself. Obviously, you're giving Kia a gift because she gets a home to be with the rest of her life. But almost all the best people in my life I met through Pudge. Like, people are just genuine. You get to meet, if you're single, great way to meet others. If you are starting a family, if you have a family, it's a great way to show responsibility to the kids. Like, I have never made a better decision than having Pudge. And if you're at home, and also, God, it's May 9th. You adopt Kia now, you get the whole summer.
Right.
I mean, perfect way to indoctrinate.
She warms up to you really quickly too. Like, she likes little scratchies. She's very sweet.
Yeah. What kind of a home would you guys guess she does best in?
Yeah, sure. So she could either be your one and only dog because she loves all your attention, or with just a little settle-in period, she's done great with other dogs. She definitely does have a prey drive, so no cats or bunnies or little creatures.
Yeah.
But she'd be fine with kids as long as, I would say, 5+ would be great.
Based on a lead that Curtis did this week, does she insist on eating at the dinner table?
No, I don't believe so. Okay. She would love to be on a couch with a family for sure. That would make her super happy.
Right.
Also, I would say in the spirit of Mother's Day, she's a mama, so I would love to see her go home this weekend for Mother's Day to find a family.
All right. So how do we make that happen? How do they get a hold of you guys?
Yeah. So you can go to our website, which is our initials for Great Dog Rescue New England. So GDRNE.com. And there you will see all of our adoptable dogs. We actually made Kia number one this morning, so she'd be easy to find. And we have hundreds of adoptable dogs. But yes, I've heard your track record is amazing, and I hope that carries through for Kia.
Good. All right, awesome. Mindy. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Mindy.
Good job.
And if you have anybody out there, if you're with in a rescue organization, or if you have a dog that needs to be rescued, you can reach out to Pudgy, P-U-D-G-Y-S, pals at gmail.com.
All right, Mindy. Thank you.
Thanks for having us, Mindy.
Right, we appreciate it.
Love you,
Thanks
Kia.
For being here.
Bye, Kia.
All right. Some goings on with regard to Bill Belichick, Curtis, in his personal life.
Yes.
And,
this has now been picked up all over the place. Awful announcing Pro Football Talk that Jordan Hudson has been given the boot from the football facility.
Mm.
By the athletic director. I do think it's interesting that they stipulate the football building, though. So, like, it's not that she's off campus or not in any building. They have kicked her out of the football building. I do not envision that went well.
Oof, no way.
You have some audio on this?
Yeah, Jackson saved some audio on it. We'll grab it here. It's Pablo Torre, who was on, I don't even know, it's a DraftKings podcast network. He was on with Katie Nolan, and he talked about this scoop right here.
Two sources at the University of North Carolina tell me that there has been a decision. It was made last week by the higher-ups inside the athletic department that had hired Bill Belichick to be the highest-paid public employee, not just coach, in the state of North Carolina at $10 million a year. And that decision was that Jordan Hudson is no longer allowed in the football building.
Okay.
She is not allowed on the football field.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, don't think you'll be hearing much from Jordan moving forward.
Wow. Dang, not in the flippant building?
That's a little flippant. I feel like...
So that's the report. And then at the tail end, he gives the other side, which is that a source within the Belichick family says that they are very worried about the head coach.
Ooh. That would be Jen Belichick, I'm guessing.
That is dangerous right there. You're going to alienate your head coach.
So you think that... So Bill has a choice.
Yep.
Football or Jordan?
Got to stand by one of them.
Well, what do you? What is the decision that you think he makes?
I think he would make football, but it is interesting. Mm. He was just on an NYU panel, and it was noted that she was not with him, and there was an ex-NFL communications VP with him. So it does seem like maybe he is now getting outside help when it comes to the PR management when he's at different events after the debacle that was the
So this
CBS
relationship
interview.
Is headed for a breakup.
Well, I'll be interested to see this weekend. It's Miss Maine. Is Bill going to be there, you know, standing by her?
If you're basically doing what we saw on CBS, if you're doing all the, you know, pictures and all the other stuff, like, you know, the fishermen and the airplanes and how much you talk about she's your muse in your book, and you're telling me that your employer is basically saying she's not allowed in the building or on the football field.
That's his soulmate.
His soulmate.
His muse.
His muse.
His creative muse.
The one he wakes up with and goes to bed with every single night.
That would be like me saying, Wiggy, love ya, mm-hmm. but Talina, not allowed at any road shows going forward.
Oof. Well, guess what? You won't see me at no road shows.
Right.
I mean, with all due respect to Wiggy, I'm happier to see Talina.
You know, and I think that would be most people. Like, most people in a serious relationship, they're always going to, you know, choose the side of their partner, especially when it's a guy like Bill Belichick at his status, where he makes enough money. He don't need the UNC job, where I get it. If you need it, you might have to just, like, tell your lady, like, hey, we might have to suck this up because I need this.
He has some experience with this from the other side, because he told Tom Brady that his soulmate, Alex Guerrero, could not be with him any longer at the
That's
facility.
True.
Yeah. Am I right about that, Curtis?
The fraudulence level of Bill is astronomical. I don't know how people still defend him. And I would also say, I and others ripped Robert Kraft for telling Arthur Blank the truth about what it was like to be Bill Belichick's boss. How grateful do you think Arthur Blank is today that he took the call from Robert Kraft and that Robert Kraft was honest about the pill that Jordan and Bill were and what he had turned him to? I mean, this is the end. Charles Barkley went on another podcast yesterday saying how messy this is and how this is a disaster and how he wants them to stop doing this. It's a guy that we were told was singularly focused on winning is focused on everything else.
Yeah.
Oof.
We'll get to it in a minute. But some of those who were supporting Bill just a week ago or so, like Julian Edelman.
Uh-huh.
Have also
switched it up.
Switched it up a little bit.
Damn.
Eventually, everybody gets on my side of the
street. Where are your true friends at when you need them?
I know.
Well, Bill Belichick's been a true friend. Wiggy, you defend the guy. He told the Vikings not to sign you.
Ooh, I don't know. I don't think.
Didn't
it was,
he?
I don't know if it was Bill. I don't know who said it.
You said it was Bill.
It might have been. I can't remember. I can't remember if it was when Mike Tice said it.
Memory is foggy.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a long time.
You said Mike Tice told me that Belichick told him not to sign you.
Yeah, he might have said. Yeah, he
also, you've gotten over it.
Yeah, I got over it.
Here's a 978 text on the Subaru of New England text line that says, Greg, for $10 million, Wiggy would tell Mrs. Wiggins to take a hike if possible.
No. Oh, for $10 million. Oh, yeah, yeah. Hey, babe, guess what? You can't come to road shows. I'm making $10 million a year? Okay. That's the difference. What I'm making now? I ain't at no road shows.
All right. We will be right back.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.